There was a decision to do a 24-hour vigil. How's that gone? Because we're now at the tail end of that.
Yeah, we had about 100 people here last night, and 8 of us slept over. We were well looked after by about an equal number of police. And we had a reasonably comfortable night, so we're pretty happy with it. And there's been lots of people stopping all the time to have a chat, to clarify things, to pick up, like, there's a lot of people buying T-shirts and Nils Meltzer's book and, you know, things like that. So a lot of people just don't get a lot of exposure to the factual information about Julian's case. So you get... The mainstream media usually focuses on one new development. They usually, you know, will have an article, they'll have a bit of background, and then they'll have like one element, like the parliamentarians last week, for example. Right? But there was a lot of information that you don't get just by, you know, if you limit your reading to that. So we're here.
What they consider to be newsworthiness. Yeah. You know, what's the new thing about this particular
event? That's exactly it. That's it. They just focus. They have a small focus, and people are robbed of, you know, the big picture, the facts of the story. This is a very complicated case.
It says a lot about the lip service that Western governments play to international law. They talk about it a lot, but they don't actually walk the talk.
The whole idea of a rules-based order, it's the biggest lie. I'm sorry. It is just the biggest lie. Julian has been held in detention in different ways, 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy, nearly 5 years now in Belmarsh hellhole. It is a hellhole. It is a maximum security prison. There are terrorists. There are murderers in this prison. It is not a remand prison. He's held in isolation 23 hours a day. Officially, if you're held in isolation for 2 weeks, that constitutes torture. That's the definition, you know, of torture. He's been held there for nearly 5 years, you know. They have double standards. He has no convictions, none. He had a minor conviction for breaking a bail violation in regards to the Swedish case. Now, in the Swedish case, no charges were ever laid. So he had a minor conviction for breaking a bail violation when no charges had ever been laid. And in fact, it was the British government telling the Swedish prosecutors to keep it going. The Swedish prosecutors wanted to end the case. It was the British telling them, no, don't end the case, keep it open, keep it open. They kept it open for 9 years.
It's political. As I say, it needs a political solution.
Exactly.
I mean, the English have not covered themselves in glory. They stand behind their legal system as being a very important a pillar of their society. But actually, there was a whole range of terrible instances of illegal kind, almost verging on illegal behaviour.
No, illegal. I call them. They were illegal.
They refused to even actually tell the person who was being charged with something what they were being charged with, and their lawyers didn't even read the briefs.
Yeah. I mean, they went into the Ecuadorian embassy to drag Julian out. Now, can you tell me another incident where that has happened? Where a government has gone into a foreign government embassy to make an arrest?
Well, they had a security camera that was being spied on by the CIA.
That's right. And they were party to it. The UK were party to it. They've paid out Jenny Robinson, the lawyer. You know, they've owned up to the fact that they did this. Now, it is illegal. Sorry, it is illegal.
Have you heard anything about... Because this is... we're a day... or the English are a day behind us. When do we hear what their statements are going to be around this case?
Yeah, so yesterday was the first day of the appeal, and it was the defence. The defence put forward all their case.
Because the charges against him are related to the exposure of the US war crimes in Iraq, where they bombed people and killed them when they should, you know, like, it was quite clearly a war crime.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you, I assume from what you're saying that you've seen the collateral murder, and I don't know anyone who has seen that video and been able to walk away without concluding that it was absolutely a murder. When you hear the voices of the people committing this, when they knew there were children in that van and they decided to bomb it, and they said, well, it's their bad luck for being there, right? You can see clearly this is a group of civilians walking around.
Yeah, justifying by blaming the people that they're killing.
That's correct.
It's a little bit of like the blame we're feeling.
And what makes it even worse, look, we know in wartime and in war zones, soldiers commit heinous, terrible things. Well, what makes this worse is that the generals lied about it. So Dean Yates, he was the Reuters bureau chief at the time.
Who lost people.
Yeah, he lost two of his reporters there. And when he asked the American generals about it, right, they said to him, it was an engagement with a violent group. There was no engagement with a violent group. They targeted, clearly, they weren't getting fired on. There was no fire, there were no arms. This was a group of civilians and reporters walking around. And they knew there were children in that bus. So it is an unspeakable crime that the Americans tried to cover up. They lied about it. It was only 3 years after that, when Julian released it, that Dean Yates saw it for the first time. And that caused him, he's described in his book, he's described the trauma it caused him, knowing that, they had lied about it and that he had believed that he felt responsible, that he hadn't challenged their lies.
What Julian is being charged with is being a journalist.
Being a journalist, that's right. And bear in mind that Obama, with Biden as his deputy, his
vice president
at the time, decided they could not charge Julian because of the American First Amendment, which guarantees freedom of the press. Right? And they put it aside. And it was only the next president, Mr. Trump, together with Mike Pompeo, the CIA chief.
Vindictive prosecution.
They designed this and used a very old law that was never designed to be to prosecute journalists. It was the first time this law has ever been used against the journalist, right? And that goes against basically everything. This is creating precedent in many ways. Also, the reach of America to try, firstly, to
act as if they've got control over
global,
every citizen in the world.
Global jurisdiction. They have given themselves the right of global jurisdiction. And basically, they've said to the world, you harm America, we're going to get you.
And we
don't care what you do or say, we're going to get you.
Yeah, and there was a briefing, the MEAA had a briefing on Friday Stella Assange was saying that if they we'll pardon you, even then, what they're saying is that he's actually done something wrong and that it has far-reaching effects on public interest journalism across the world. That we're just all patsies to the American war machine.
Now, we've heard journalists say that since Julian's case, they will consider whether or not they are they can be subject to similar treatment. That they would not automatically publish. So democracy is at stake here. Let's not beat around the bush.
When do we hear the...
There's one more day when... So the defence has presented their case yesterday, and in Britain, so the next day is like today, but it's still a bit early, the difference. The prosecution, the Americans, will put forward their case today. Now, whether or not the judges, there's two judges, whether or not they will make an immediate decision, it's probably unlikely. It's probably they will delay before they give their finding, is my guess. But look, it's hard to say. No one knows.
Yeah, I know. They've been very secretive and they've also been very close-fisted about using administrative procedures to limit the amount of people who are actually witness this diabolical case,
yeah.
This diabolical case. Where are you from? Who are you with?
My name's Con Pekavakis. I'm a member, a committee member of Penn International Melbourne Centre. I'm also with the No Orcas group, and I'm a teacher by profession.
Thanks for talking to me, and thanks for staying out all night to raise awareness.
My pleasure. Let's hope for Julian. Yeah. And for justice. Thank you.